Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Oh, share the story. So good.
Share enough.
Big time.
You know more than him about the NFL. It's proven. You know more than him about the NFL.
Yeah. I would trust Waddle.
Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was proven this year. Crazy. All right. The top story of the day.
Our top story.
We've been in basically since noon, just a little afternoon.
I was not here.
You were in early. I got here very early.
Did you have an idea that the Bears were going to break news?
No, I was at Northwestern in Glenview at Patriot. Just a quick blood work. Nothing.
So instead of going home, you came to work.
Right. So and they were on time, which is great. Like any time you make a medical appointment, and it was just, hey, blood draw, just to keep, monitor everything. Did the blood draw, 11:20 appointment. They got me in there to like 11:22.
Fantastic.
That's a great day when that happens.
Yeah. So is it usually a delay?
There's usually a little bit of a wait. So I'm like, let's go to work. And traffic's been great since New Year's, since the holidays.
It has been great.
I pulled in at about noon, and I know that it had been trending. I basically thought in my head that we would get an announcement during our show today on the Bears general manager thing. And I walk upstairs at 12:05, and someone shouted, or someone, I think it was Travis Wacker in our marketing department, said, Schefter just tweeted Poles. It's Ryan Poles. Yeah, and it was just when I was crossing paths with Carm. Carm was walking out, I was walking in. And I go, Carm, you want to go on the air together till Waddle gets here?
Save the music, baby.
Yeah. So, and Danny said, yes, we'll go into Bears Bonanza mode.
Get you.
So we flipped it.
Bears Bonanza mode.
And instead of Greeny, we went local, live and local, and we've been broadcasting the news today that Ryan Poles from the Kansas City Chiefs is the brand new general manager of the Chicago Bears. This was a guy who was a late add. He wasn't known on the search early on with a lot of the names. And we had not publicized it. And I think it was like within the last week he'd been gaining steam.
When did he get his first interview?
First interview with the Bears? Can you look, Abdallah, when the first interview happened?
I'm assuming it was all first interviews were via Zoom, correct?
Yeah, all the first interviews were Zoom. They were all Zoom. And
this says Friday the 21st.
So this was Friday. He was a late ad, like I said. And he was a finalist last year with Carolina. And then he was maybe wasn't on the list because maybe they thought he was going to get the Giants job, right? Because didn't it come down to him and
Joe Shane
from Buffalo, who they talked to? So last year, he's 35 with the Chiefs, finalist for the Carolina job, didn't get it. This year, Giants job, it's between him and Joe Shane from the Bills. It goes to Shane. So now all of a sudden, he's trending upward. He's getting to be a finalist with these teams. Bears and Vikings are open, and then they love him. They talk to him, and they love him, and they expedited a second interview with him. And then the Vikings already named him a finalist. It's between him and another one of the Bears candidates, I think Kwezi, who is with Cleveland. And they knew if they let him out of the building
that the Vikings were probably going to hire him.
So now it's a division thing, too. They loved what he heard. They had three finalists scheduled. First with him. And the goal was, from all accounts, Jeff Hughes and the Bears blog, was get him in the building. And if he continues to trend the way we think he's going to trend in the interview, we're not letting him home. We're not letting him out. We are going to get him signed.
Yeah.
And so supposedly the way the negotiation went is that, look, I'll take the job, but part of the agreement is I get to do the search for the coach. So
you get to have final say.
So supposedly they will still interview Jim Caldwell, Matt Eberflus, and Dan Quinn, who the Bears search firm already liked, the search of Polian and the four people who are in the room, and maybe he'll expand it. We will see if he expands it to anybody else, but it will be him interviewing them, which we like, and it will be his call. He is the top football guy for a reason. You always say you don't get involved in football decisions. You did do that with Ryan Pace. You said, we believe in you so much, Ryan, that we're going to allow you to not hire your head coach. We're going to pair you with a guy we think will be a good pairing in John Fox. We know how that all turned out. So with this one now, we like that they say, we believe in you. We've given you the job. Now go do what our top football guy would do.
Yeah.
And go interview these guys and pick us a damn good coach.
Listen, you've hired him. Now allow him to do his job. That's what you need to do. Allow him to do his job. And we'll see what happens. I hope that this thing turns out to be a huge winner.
So this is an organization that the Bears have used before. As Waddle mentioned, you shouldn't look down on them and saying, well, they're going back to Kansas City. That hasn't worked. They're all different. And you always go to the organizations that have had success. You know, the Chiefs have had success for a lot of years.
He's been with the Chiefs for a long period of time, was with Scott Pioli, then Dorsey, and now Brett Veach. And I think that that's a positive, because when you hire a new general manager, even if it's from within, they may decide to move people in and out of there. It's one of the things that Ryan Pace, oddly enough, there was never any change in his staff. I don't think there was ever a firing, despite the fact that they really didn't kill it in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But
guys, every left. One of the guys, wasn't Joe Douglas with him? Was Joe Douglas with him?
I think so.
And now he's running the Jets.
Right. But nobody was like, hey, you know, we got to move on from you because whatever it was that you did, it didn't go so well. But I think he obviously got high marks from all three of the general managers that were in Kansas City, because all of them helped him maintain status, not just maintain it, but he rose in the ranks there.
Scott Pioli came from New England and then ran the Chiefs and hired him in 2009. And I think we're expecting to talk to Pioli in the next couple of days. Good. The Field Yates interview, we're going to play at 5:15. It's also available on the podcast. Field Yates from ESPN started off as a intern with the Patriots and then was hired by Pioli as a scout in 2009, a few months after they hired Ryan Poles. So he goes back a long way with Ryan Poles. He remains good friends with him, so he's obviously biased, but he insists, and I retweeted a tweet. Field said 5 years ago when he was promoted with Kansas City, keep an eye on this guy.
Right.
He's got a future in this league. And 5 years later now, he's the Bears general manager. This is Poles. I want to play you Ryan Poles, because we've not heard what he sounds like, what his philosophy is. Brett Veach is very successful with the Kansas City Chiefs. Also was a young general manager. Like Waddle just gave you some of the names. He worked his way up through the Kansas City Chiefs system. He was a former teammate with Matt Nagy, believe it or not. Brett Veach was. Brett Veach was also the guy who pounded his fist on the table with Andy Reid saying, it's Mahomes. It's Mahomes for us. We have one choice and one choice only. The future quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes, and we have to do whatever we want. And Cap has retold the story where they go into a room the first time they introduced Mahomes and Reid together, and they're really nervous if Reid would get along with Mahomes and would like Mahomes. And Andy Reid looked at them, gave him the thumbs up, and it was all on. But Brett Veach was the main guy in that organization who was all in on Mahomes, even though Alex Smith was doing a good job for them. So Ryan Poles, about a year ago, was asked, when you set up your own shop, what will you take with you from Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs to your next job?
Anticipation, by far. Looking down the road and talking about the things that could happen. You know, what's our plan A, B, and C, and D, and moving accordingly. So just thinking ahead and anticipating moves that are on the horizon has been probably number one. His aggression, there's, you know, pros and cons of being aggressive in the front office, but it's all about timing and where your roster is and what you're going for. And right now we're in that window. And to see the aggressive mindset to get things done, sign our own guys back, free agency, it has been really good. So I don't know if you can make – I mean, the Bills just did it, you know, with Diggs. Yeah. There's a time where you got to pull the trigger and go get that guy. And it may not be popular, but you know what's best for your team. So that's Veach's mindset has really rubbed off on me. And you're exactly right. You know, I probably got Coach Reid in the right window, but he's really taken a step back from the personnel side. We are so close in the front office – he lets us do the work. We get the information down to what we want to, what decisions we want to make, and we run it by him, and he gives the green light, and we're good. So he really isn't involved with the day-to-day and even the draft process as much as people may think.
The one thing that stood out to me while I was listening to that is understanding where your team is. So you could be aggressive if your team's in that window.
Right.
Will he recognize we ain't in that window?
I hope that he looks at this team and realizes and sees them as a rebuild.
And we need to stock the shelves. And we need to get the more the merrier, more picks, more of this, more young.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like everything else, like I felt about AK and Eversley when they came in. I'm you know, they get the benefit of the doubt. So will Ryan Poles get the benefit of the doubt from me. I would hope, though, he would look at this team and realize, because the competitor in you always feels like you can make more out of this thing than your predecessor did. Like, I'm going to be better at the job, so I'm going to get more out of this current, you know, my current constituents. I just would hope that he looks at this with a very, very, you know, set of open eyes and goes, we're not where we need to be. We're not going to try to patchwork this. We're not going to Band-Aid this. We're going to knock it down to where it needs to be knocked down. Maybe it doesn't need to be entirely scrapped, but we need to rebuild some stuff. And I would hope that it starts with the offensive line, not just one new guy.
Right. Well, it's like the Jimmy Graham and Andy Dalton stuff.
Yeah.
Where,
oh, that's Band-Aid.
Where are we? Where are we as a team? We don't need to spend $10 million on a one-year quarterback.
Right.
Let's bring in someone who can grow with us and spend money on a younger player. We don't need Jimmy Graham right now. We're an 8-8 team. We need to get rid of Jimmy's salary, and we need to invest in a younger player who could possibly grow with us.
And if that approach wins you four fewer games, so be it. You have the job security right now because you've just been hired to go in and really kind of start to build this thing from the ground up. Don't patchwork this, because I don't think that's going to... And my guess is he'll look at this team and he understands you can't patchwork it.
Yeah, so that's Ryan Poles. He's your new Bears general manager. Again, Eberflus, Quinn, Caldwell are the known interviews of the guys that he's going to be talking to. Adam Schefter reported earlier in the day that Caldwell was in the building today, but it will be a Ryan Poles decision and a Ryan Poles show as far as him interviewing and hiring.
That's a step in the right direction from day one.
Will Eric Bieniemy get an interview? Will there be somebody else who gets an interview here from Ryan Poles? So we will keep our eye on the coach. 312-332-3776. Bears fans, fairly positive today. How do you feel? The other fun story to come out of this is that George McCaskey picked up Ryan Poles from the airport yesterday. There's a video that I retweeted. One of our listeners captured it. He called the show a little bit earlier today as a realtor up north. Really good stuff there. We had some fun with that. We wanted to know if you thought George drove himself or did he have a car service waiting outside and he simply was in the car and went to go get his new general manager. Field Yates texted me right away. He said, "You've knocked it out of the park. It's an A++++. I'm all in on the Bears." He's been friends with Ryan Poles for a long time. He's also has a very good football eye. We will play for you the scouting report on Ryan Poles from Field Yates, a guy who we really like. You'll hear that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so when I did get into the office and we started on the show early, Field Yates texted me and wrote, "Dude, A++++++ hire. I'm all in again on the Bears. Ryan and I got hired together as scouting grunts back in Kansas City, 2009. I'm so stoked for you." And so I said, "Field, I know you just welcomed in the new baby Kinley. And but can you come on?" He's like, "Sure, we're out for a walk right now. When I get back, I'll call you." So he called us, Field Yates from ESPN, and I asked him to paint a picture on who new Bears GM Ryan Poles is.
Yeah, so we both got hired in the year of 2009, which was the year that Scott Pioli got hired as the Chiefs general manager. And Ryan was a little bit ahead of me because he's a couple years older than I am. And so I think we might have been hired like 3 months apart, but for all intents and purposes, the same time, kind of part of the same hiring cycle, if you will. Ryan was further up the pecking order than I was by a little bit because he had spent a couple of years working with Boston College in their football program where he played. He was actually a I don't know which scouting services were even around when him and I were in high school, but he was a five-star recruit out of Western New York who was the size of a house, who came to Boston College, and we don't get many, I say we because my wife went there as well. There are not many five-star recruits that come through Boston College, so when you do, it's a big deal. He came to BC and lived up the expectations and was a starting guard alongside Matt Ryan during their electric final season in college, but in Poles' final game against Notre Dame, he popped his Achilles, which led to him being undrafted. And as I'm sure you guys know, serendipitously was signed by the Bears, an undrafted free agent. After a little bit, it was clear to him it wasn't going to work. Just his body was not where it needed to be anymore. And so he decided to go the scouting route. So I'm going, this is the longer version, but whatever. You guys can cut me off when it's time.
No, that's great.
We end up in Kansas City together. And yeah, and they call either a scouting assist or an in-house scout. I think in-house scout was what made you sound a little bit cooler if you were trying to meet a girl for the first time back when you're fresh out of college. But that job was not for, it was not for the glory. It was for the experience. And it's some of the most menial tasks you'll ever do, right? Things from, you are scouting players and you're writing up reports. And that's on the top end of the scale and going to practice every day and going to pro days and things like that. And there are days where, somebody calls you a little bit further up the ladder and says, I need a chicken Caesar salad wrap delivered in 20 minutes. You're doing that, right? Or, hey, we're doing our pre-draft visit. And the first draft that Ryan and I were together was the year that we ended up taking Eric Berry. So, hey, that draft also included the likes of Ndamukong Suh and Gerald McCoy and JPP. So it's like you're going to pick up a guy from the airport. That's your job. And by the way, you're picking him up at midnight. You got to pick him up again at 5 a.m. the next morning to go to the doctor. So anyways, it's not like him and I were together when he was on the doorstep of being a GM. Because at that point, it's easy to kind of know that somebody has what it takes to eventually be hired as a general manager. But I'm here to tell you, and this is, again, not me trying to sensationalize what just took place for the Bears. But early on, it was so clear to me that Ryan had such a special quality about him, a lot of special qualities about him. But what I've learned more and more is that there are a lot of ways that general managers can fail in the NFL. But near the top are when you just can't let go of the power and you're too focused in on being the person responsible for the entire operation, that you're not willing to delegate, you're not willing to surround yourself with smart people, you're not willing to surround yourself with people that aren't going to be yes men. You have to have a sincere humility. And I've always felt like that's one of Ryan's greatest qualities. I got to see it up close working together. I got to see it through when I was at his wedding and seeing people that, were part of his life from start to finish. And the humility was something that I stored away. It's like, I think this guy is going to go somewhere big. He's been a finalist for last year was the Carolina job. And then obviously he was a finalist for not just the Giants job, but the Vikings job as well. So like the NFL was onto this. I think this is going to be a process oriented regime. And I know that's one of those words that get thrown around a ton. And what does it mean? But like, I don't think Ryan Poles is coming to Chicago and trying to come up and find the fastest way to the top, right? Like, I'm sure if opportunity knocks, he'll explore every avenue. But I think he understands that this is about building a team. And I know we talk about players like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and, of course, Patrick Mahomes when we're watching what Kansas City did on Sunday. But if you go through that roster, they found some guys through the college scouting process that have made the difference between them being a team that's really good every year to them being a team that's made four straight AFC championships, all being played at home. So I know the Bears don't have a first-round pick this year, and so I know your most obvious avenue to acquire an elite talent is gone, but I wouldn't be surprised if that is no distraction at all to Ryan Poles. You've got Justin Fields, and it's going to take some time, obviously, because some of the stuff you're going to have to do is kind of undo some of the things that have taken place over the past few years. But I think if Bears fans are geared up for a fun ride, there is one ahead with Poles. I think that this is going to be one that, and I know what there are going to be corners of the internet right now, maybe even corners of Bears fans that are saying to themselves, every hire, everybody has somebody that gets on the microphone and says, this is the best thing ever, and this guy is great. And, some of those become old takes exposed a few years later, right?
Right.
Yeah. I've been telling people who would listen for the past few years, because it was getting close these past few years for Ryan, is that, like, if I had to put my money on someone, this is somebody I put my money on. Hmm. And thrilled for him, thrilled for the Bears. You know, there was a lot to be excited about just because of Justin Fields. But, like, at some point we have to turn that excitement into action and wins. I don't know who the coach will be yet, obviously. None of us do. But some of the candidates involved seem like, you know, quality leaders of men. And I don't know. I just think this is a day that Bears fans should be – I know they're excited, but I feel like this is the kind of excitement that's going to rear itself in – a lot of success in the next handful of years here as well.
That's a, if this doesn't work out, people are going to come after you around these parts, let me tell you. I mean, you can't get a more ringing endorsement than I mean.
It's like when Riddick called the Maserati Mitch.
Right,
all
right? Yeah, that's what
I'm coming for you about. Next.
But, I mean, you're speaking so glowingly. I love what you're saying. It all makes sense. It does make us feel good, Field. And I guess we should right now. Like, we shouldn't, like, let's try to be a little optimistic. You're speaking in these glowing terms. Ultimately, this job is about talent acquisition. And we were going through some of the drafts that he's been a part of. And you're right, they've done it there, obviously. What makes his scouting eye, or like that ability to scout and identify and recognize and know, these are the players I need? Like, what makes his eye special? Why is he good at it?
Yeah, it's funny. I remember way, way back when we just got started together. And he was an offensive lineman, a really good one at that, right? And I remember him being the first person that was sort of like, I need to be a sponge for everything else, because he probably, the minute he finished his playing career, had a pretty good idea of what it meant to be a good offensive lineman and what it took, right? I mean, it's not like every former player knows exactly what it takes. And as a matter of fact, we've seen some really great, you know, sometimes it's the best coaches are the backup quarterbacks, right? The Sean Paytons of the world. And I know, you know, Matt Nagy was a backup quarterback, but still, like, it's often the guys who saw it from a different vantage point, right? But I think Ryan was quick to identify that, like, it's one thing to just sit there and try to become the offensive line guy around the building. It's another thing to go out there and learn what you don't know as well. I think there's going to be a patience. I think there's a passion that I think, and I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to implicate general managers, but you guys, certain general managers, I should say, but you hear stories frequently. I'm sure you guys have heard plenty yourself where the minute somebody becomes a general manager, that person falls out of love with what got them to that point, and that is scouting. You're a scout at heart, and I know that you have to do a whole lot more. It's contracting, it's managing people, and it's, you know, if someone gets arrested, you have to be the first call, that you're the one that's working to figure out what took place and all that. So there's a lot more than just being a scout, but Ryan's a pure scout, and I think that ultimately, you said, it's a talent acquisition job, and the Bears need to ensure that going forward, if you're taking big swings in free agency, they have to be calculated, and they have to be, I would say, infrequent, because the track record suggests that more often than not, building a team through free agency is either going to be short-lived success or not successful. It's going to be about the draft. And you could pick apart any team's draft and say, here are the hits, here are the misses, right? And I know the Kansas City, like during Ryan's time, like you name a great player on their roster, and a lot of them came through that pipeline. So I think that it's like, I don't like to put timelines on teams, because we've seen things happen. You know, no one would have, you couldn't have told me that when Patrick Mahomes took over as a Chiefs starter, they'd go to four straight AFC Championship games. I might have thought it would take a year or two. So I stopped. And conversely, like there are teams that, I would have, even the Bengals this year, right? I mean, they're a year or two ahead of schedule from where I thought they would be. And then other teams that it takes them much longer to get there. But I think Ryan is going to be, like, as a younger general manager and a first-time general manager, he's not going in there saying, like, again, we have to find our way to the, like, you want to find your way to the top, but it's not going to come at the cost of the principles you believe in, which is something I've always felt was a strength of his. And I think it's a huge component to success going forward. And I wouldn't be surprised if, and I don't know who's going to stay in terms of the incumbent people in place in the front office, but it would not surprise me at all if one thing you're not afraid of, if you're Ryan Poles, is hiring smart people, right? It's having people around you that, you know, you have to have one voice publicly, but, you know, if you're in the draft room and you're sitting there trying to decide between, you know, maybe the Bears feel like they need to upgrade the wide receiver group, if Allen Robinson's no longer there, or because of just some of the general struggles this year, like you can't have eight people in one room and all of them saying the exact same thing about the exact same guy. And I think that's been a healthy part of the Chiefs' success over the past, you know, really decade. I know we simplify things and say Patrick Mahomes, and there's no doubt that he's prodigious, right? But in the same way that Buffalo is not just Josh Allen, they've hit some really good players in the draft and made some smart pickups in free agency. You make a big trade like Stephon Diggs, it's got to really be a key, and it was. And I think that's going to be a big part of the Bears' success, is that I believe this will be a draft and develop team. But if opportunity knocks in the NFL, that can be the difference from, you know, that can elevate you from, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 wins to 10, 11, 12 and making deep runs in the playoffs. So I do believe this is a great day for the Bears. I'm super stoked for them, and I think fans have a lot to be excited about. And I know that right now, you know, there's always going to be that initial, everybody's saying nice things about whoever is getting higher, but I believe it's well-rooted here.
Field Yates joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie with Carmen in for Waddle for the time being. We're in on Greeny's slot, and that opportunity knocking may be Sean Payton. Oh. We have breaking news, Field, on this afternoon as well. Ian Rappaport and now all the bigwigs are reporting that Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he is stepping away.
Wow.
So whether that's a retirement, whether that's a way to get out of his contract with the Saints. So Ryan Poles is used to not having a first-round draft pick. Does he get on the horn right now and call New Orleans and say to Mickey Loomis, look, I'll give you the 2023 first-round draft pick. Bring Sean Payton home to Chicago.
Wow. You know what? I would think no, only because and I'm saying that knowing that this took place about 5 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, if someone's retiring, it either means burnout or it means they're sick of their situation, you name it. This is wild, by the way. I did not, you know, I understood there was, you know, the owner yesterday, Gail Benson, was noncommittal on his return. But I thought that was one of those, like, ha-ha, wink, wink, nod, nod. He'll be back, you know, in a week. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating. That to me feels like, you know, and Sean Payton's amazing, and maybe he would be worth it. But maybe, I mean, that feels like a really big swing to take right out of the gates when you're already down your first round pick. And you know, not that I don't want to, you know, disappoint Bears fans, but you know, this roster is not there are pieces that are going to be needed, right? It's going to take some time here. So I'd be surprised, but then again, I probably should know, and we all are reminded of in the NFL, you should never be surprised by anything. But my initial reaction would be, I'd be surprised.
Field Yates on with us earlier today. Again,
we call that a glowing recommendation.
He's glowing. And again, he's friends with him. He's got a personal relationship with him. But he says those are the attributes, and we can only go forward and give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves with some moves that he doesn't deserve it, or maybe he steps on the gas like AK did with the Bulls, and we're like, we got one.
Yeah.
We finally got one. Now we'll see who the coach is going to be. Remember what AK did. AK went out, and he went to the top shelf of the coach's search, and we're like, ooh, we didn't know Billy
Nobody
Donovan could be in
Billy
play.
Nobody thought Billy Donovan was coming.
We thought Jim Boylan was a better option than Billy Donovan at the time, a more realistic option.
Yeah,
so we'll see. We'll see. Not a better one. So the Hall of Fame voting is in. This is now the main story. Obviously, locally, the Bear story still remains the main story, but only one player was voted in, David Ortiz. He got 77% of the vote. No Sosa, no Bonds, no Clemens. One player. Waddle will put into words what that means coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
I tweeted out that the Baseball Hall of Fame is the dumbest museum in the world.
I co-signed that.
Yeah. What, you also have a Bears nugget to pass along from Brad Biggs?
Yeah, Brad Biggs said I want to quote him correctly. Cowboys defensive coordinator just tweeted this out 2 minutes ago. Dan Quinn is expected to have a second interview with the Bears and a first with Ryan Poles at Hallis Hall on Wednesday.
Jim Caldwell was supposedly interviewing today.
In the building today.
They have not publicized that they've officially hired Ryan Poles yet, have they? The Bears. I don't think they've released it.
I haven't seen that. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I've seen that.
So we will see with the news today. That is the news, though, that Ryan Poles is the new general manager.
Before we undress Major League Baseball. I want to know who's on this fantastic staff that people are talking about that Dan Quinn has put together.
So, and
I'm not trying to be a wise ass here. I'm interested.
The staff's important.
And also, do you want Dan Quinn to have say? Because
this has now been going around now that Dan Quinn is a candidate, that Vaughn McClure wrote this in 2015, Dan Quinn has final say on roster, and that Dan Quinn will have final say over the Falcons' 53-man roster, owner Arthur Blank said. This is back in 2015.
Which is odd, considering Thomas Dimitroff was a pretty accomplished GM.
The restructuring marked a shift of power away from Dimitroff, although the Falcons refused to refer to it as such.
Well, wait a minute. Don't most coaches have 53-man control? They get to pick who they cut and keep? Like, he'll do the drafting. You're not saying that Dan Quinn has final say over draft picks or free agent signings.
But on the
roster.
You're
just saying on who's on his 53.
Yeah, maybe that may not be as odd or as much of a power grab as maybe it sounded initially.
Yeah.
We can ask, we have Scott Pioli on hopefully later this week. We can ask him because he was the assistant general manager when this happened.
Okay, good. So here's the voting. Major League Baseball Baseball Writers of America, because it's the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? It's how they call it. It's not the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
It's called the sanctimonious batch of uninformed. No.
I was going to use it. If we were on Crosstalk Unhinged, I was going to drop a few there. So David Ortiz, and this is going to be even worse, okay, because David Ortiz is going to go in solo.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the David Ortiz and the David Ortiz only show for the Baseball Hall of Fame, because that's the only one who got more than 75% of the vote, 77.9% of the vote. So he's going to be the only one inducted. So this is going to be a solo act. They're strictly going to be celebrating David Ortiz and nobody else. It's only going to be Red Sox fans. And there is a cloud over David Ortiz, too.
Wasn't he on that list?
And he's going to be more celebrated than any, like, singular guy, because they've all gone in with, like, five or six different people.
You answer me this, because you probably have more knowledge on this. Clemens, great pitcher. Probably surly to the press a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Bonds was not liked by the press at all.
Not at all.
Sammy, also not liked by many. David Ortiz, darling, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm all for David Ortiz being in the Hall of Fame. But I'm not all for him being in the Hall of Fame and the other guys not.
Right. And like, what are the rules? Like, are you... Well, there's a cloud over Ortiz, but there's a huge thunderstorm over Bonds and Clemens. Like, what are we determining here as far as, like, steroids era? Again, there's always been different eras of baseball. And we don't know who cheated and who not.
I guarantee you there are guys in the Hall of Fame right now that cheated.
So let me give you the lowdown. You needed 75% to get in. Ortiz is the only one to go in. Barry Bonds. These are last year for Bonds and Clemens, too. And then they're going to be on this new ballot where Jerry Reinsdorf gets to pick everyone who goes in, I think. Barry Bonds got 66% of the vote, so like 9% short. Clemens got 65.2%. Scott Rolen, who should be in the Hall of Very Good, got 63.2% of the vote. Curt Schilling only got 58.6% of the vote. Then we go, where did A-Rod go? So then you get Todd Helton, 50, another Hall of Very Good.
Todd Helton played the majority of his career in Colorado, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, obviously he's been suspended for a season. It's like, are we divvying this up differently? Like, hey, if you were caught and busted when it was against the rules, are you looked down more? Like, I heard Yurko say this morning, and I agree with Yurko. A-Rod and Bonds are the same. A-Rod was Bonds was probably a better player overall. He hit more home runs, but they're basically the same guy, aren't they? They were both amongst the greatest players in the history of the game, both when they were using and when they weren't.
Yeah, I heard the guys say today, but before Bonds even was, it was contemplated that he did anything. Didn't he already have 500 runs?
It was close. I mean,
close to 500 home runs.
His Pittsburgh career was crazy.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a 40-40 there?
Yeah, I think so. And Sammy was 30-30 before he started juicing, too. So A-Rod got 34.3% of the vote. Manny Ramirez, he's more untouchable. Then you get this next level of, we can't touch them. Manny and Sosa are on that. Manny's got 28.9% of the vote.
Manny may be one of the top five right-handed hitters in the history of the game.
Yeah. And Sammy Sosa, 18.5% of the vote. Mark Burley stays on the ballot. He got 5.8% of the vote.
I think, Tyler, weren't you the one saying that, like, now that these guys aren't on this ballot anymore, maybe it gives them a better chance.
Today's Era committee?
Yeah.
Because I feel like Today's Era kind of is more welcoming to these guys than... And I don't know exactly who's on that committee, but...
This is not about dismissing what they did.
Put it on the plaque. I've always
told
the story. You're a museum. Barry Bonds. How many did he hit?
1 million.
I don't even know the number anymore.
762 or 770 something.
Whatever it is. 7 blah 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 home runs, this and that, and suspected steroid user, or admitted steroid, or his era was clouded by, you know, steroids.
762.
Tell the story of all of them. You don't have to write all glowing stuff on the plaque. They're in the Hall of Fame, but they also were under the cloud of suspicion their entire career before there was a rule against steroids, before they tested for it. Tell the damn story. We don't know in this era.
So silly.
That's why it was termed the steroid era. Some believe there were up to 60% of the people using, including pitchers. Who the hell knows? But tell the story. Don't thumb your nose at all the, like I said to Waddle at the break, we could talk about this. Can you make a better team of non-Hall of Famers versus the players in the Hall of Fame? Can you, with Pete Rose,
Joe Jackson. Who's in left field? Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Who's in center field?
There's some really good players, too, that you could put. You put Bonds in center, even, like in his younger days.
Where
you
am I playing
put Manny,
Pete?
Put Manny in left
am
or
I
something.
Am I putting Pete at first, or am I putting Pete at third?
Probably put... Well,
Pete came up as a second baseman, I think, too, in the red system.
It depends who the first... Who's the steroids first baseman?
We could put Manny at first.
Or in left, or is your DH. Sammy's in right.
Yeah,
Mark McGuire is going to be, you know, somewhere.
So
Mark McGuire's our first baseman, right?
Okay, yeah, good point. Mark McGuire with 583 home runs. Sammy and Wright?
Yep.
609 home
Barry
runs.
Barry Bonds in center.
Barry Bonds with 762 all-time leader. Coming in number four, your all-time home run leader is A-Rod with 696.
A-Rod's our shortstop, right?
Yes.
So, think about this team already that we're building.
Jose Canseco. Maybe he's got 462. Maybe he can be our DH.
We could go even better. I think. All right. Well, 332-3776. One player in David Ortiz of the Hall of Fame, which is stupid.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Rutgers, Indiana, Purdue, and Nebraska this February at Welsh Ryan Arena. Buy your tickets now at nusports.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, David Ortiz, the only one elected in the Hall of Fame. Ryan Poles, your new general manager of the Bears. Dan Quinn will get an interview tomorrow. First with Poles, and
will be a second with the Bears, right?
Second with the Bears, first time with Ryan Poles as the general manager. 312-332-3776. You have a statement from Roger Clemens.
Yeah, Roger Clemens tweeted this out. Randy Merkin brought this to our attention. He says, "Hey, y'all, I figured I'd give you all a statement since it's that time of year again. My family and I put the Hall of Fame in the rearview mirror 10 years ago. I didn't play baseball to get into the Hall of Fame. I played to make a generational difference in the lives of my family, then focus on winning championships while giving back to the community and the fans as well. It was my passion. I gave it all I had the right way for my family and for the fans who supported me. I am grateful for that support. I would like to thank those who took the time to look at the facts and vote for me. Hopefully everyone can now close this book and keep their eyes forward, focusing on what is really important in life. All love."
That's there you go.
From Roger Clemens.
That's Roger Clemens. Joe in Oak Forest wants to weigh in on the voting. Joe, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Joe.
So I usually call in for football, basketball. Not a big baseball guy. I love playing baseball, love golf. But to me, baseball and golf are like almost in the same category. I'm not a big fan of watching it. But when you do stuff like this to these players, I mean, baseball has a hard enough time as it's been for the past maybe 15 years getting some of the youth to really connect with the sport, and then you see some stuff like this. I mean, it's kind of, it doesn't help the sport at all. And baseball is, I mean, it is, it's truly America's pastime, regardless of how football has taken over. But baseball really is America's pastime, and it kind of stinks to see the way that they treat that their players. I mean, you guys, everything you said is 100% right. I mean, it's just sad that you see some of these guys get in, and then you got these other players that are obviously some of the best. I mean, Barry Bonds, like, even in college, this guy was amazing.
You know what, Joe, I don't know, and thanks for the call, I don't know that them not getting in affects the popularity of baseball in any way, shape, or form. I don't.
Here's the one thing I'll say, and they're all separately related. But there are very few days like Field of Dreams Day where we're simply talking about baseball saying,
right,
oh, my God, wasn't that awesome? Like, we just had a weekend of football, right? And we just said this is the best weekend of football we've ever had. But we more often than not come in on a Monday amazed at stuff that we saw in the football weekend, whether it's the Bears or some other team. And we're like, oh, my God, did you see that? Oh, my God, wasn't that delicious? Wasn't that fantastic? That Field of Dreams game was the first time in a long time that I just remember was a win for the sport. Whether it's they're stuck in a lockout again, whether we're always bickering about new rules and new ways to improve the game, whether it's not understanding how to celebrate the players of the past and figuring out how to sort of deal with the steroid era that many people sold and many people allowed happen.
Commissioner's office knew what was going on.
And then the sanctimonious word that you wave that sanctimonious finger. Oh, no, no, no. You think you're getting into my Hall of Fame? I know we allowed you to play for 19 years and sell millions of tickets, and we paid you lots of money, and no one called you out while it was going on. But now we must stand up for what is right, because now we must protect the integrity of the game. Like, get off your high horse. That's what I mean. Like, no, this. But there are very few moments when we're celebrating the game.
Right.
And we're often ripping how out of touch everything is with baseball. And this is another example.
Steroids were part of the game. They really were.
It's called the steroid era.
So you don't know who was doing
and
what.
And I'm not saying that it's right. I'm telling you, with all of these people, was always suspected, always played under a cloud of suspicion. After he left Pittsburgh, played virtually his entire career in San Francisco under suspicion of guilt. You know, fine. But in an era where this happened. But did you see, like, they were reading off, he had like 4 straight years where he was on base over 50% of the time.
Yeah.
He had like 120 intentional walks 1 year, I heard Kerman and Yurko saying. Like, some of the things that he was doing, no one. Everyone's like, hey, we'll keep showing these home runs. We'll keep doing the home run chase. Great home run chase of 1998 that was celebrated with Bud Selig everywhere.
We'd like for you to participate in this year's All-Star Game Home Run Derby. That's what we would like,
yeah,
for the fans.
And not only that, we're going to create a Super Bowl for that.
Yeah.
So we're not really even going to give you an authentic home run derby.
No.
We're going to create Super Bowls that you could hit out of the ballpark right now, which they're still kind of doing now. It's silly.
The hypocrisy is rich.
So Abdallah will continue to take your calls, your thoughts on Ryan Poles, your thoughts on where the Bears are going to go with the head coach. Don't forget, tomorrow we have Bears Bonanza all day, 5 a.m. sharp for Cap and Jay Hood. So they'll have a 4-hour ride between 5 and 9. Carmen and Yurko between 9 and 1. We'll crosstalk with Carmen, the good kid, at 1 o'clock. We'll be on tomorrow till 5:15. Then we have Northwestern basketball. I'm off to the Loyola campus.
Good luck to your Salukis.
See those Ramblers play my Salukis. I'll be rooting for my Salukis at Loyola with the entire family.
Is there a chance they win?
There's always a chance. Loyola is very good, though. They're very good. Thank you to Field Yates, Dan Wiederer, and Barstool Big Cat. Thank you to Tyler and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.